players ready. Play. 15 seed here, Cincinnati ATP 1000 event. And I'm into the third round where I come up against 37-year-old Gael Monfils, who seems to have been around forever because he has. He's been on tour for 20 years and one of the great characters, I mean, one of the great crowd favourites. I mean, he's so athletic. Even at 37, he's more athletic than most of the young 20-year-olds. And he's spectacular. He is unpredictable. He is a showman. He wants the crowd to be involved. When you know you're playing Gael Monfils, you don't know what's going to happen. You know the crowd's going to be with him, but only in the sense that they're not anti you. They just love the way he plays the game. And, you know, he's been terrific for the game of tennis. And what's amazing is he seems to have revived his career in the last number of years. I went through doing a bit of research for this match, and just the players he's beaten this year, you know, Shapovalov, Humbert, Hurkacz, Jordan Thompson, Batista Agut, Wawrinka. Last match, he's come out and he's beat Carlos Alcaraz, you know, the most exciting player on tour, beating him 6-4 in the third set. The fact that it goes deep and long doesn't mean it's going to affect him. He's just so fit, and he's a big guy too, 6'4". And if he wasn't playing tennis, he'd be playing basketball because he's an absolute basketball nut. And I must admit, I got him onto that subject with his Pistons versus my Golden State Warriors, but not a great time to be barracking for the Warriors, I have to say. Off the court, he's married to Elena Svitolina, who was a former number three tennis player of the world, and they've got a young child. So, yeah, just one of the real characters. And one of the difficulties in playing Gael Monfils is you can't plan for him because he is so unpredictable, you don't quite know what he's going to do. I suppose the one thing you can bank on, though, is he's got a big first serve and he'll go for it. He's going to ace you, but he's going to do double faults. He's got this funny service style where he feet close together and very high straight ball toss and a lot of power and uses his height well. So that was always going to be a something to reckon with. And one thing I've been concerned about is my slow starts, and you can't afford that against Gael, because if he starts well, fires up, gets the court behind, the crowd behind him, very, very difficult to stop. But of course, 15 seed being the 15 seed, comes out and basically is broken very early in the first set, and then placed on the back foot, and even though held other serves, even though tried to execute my game plan as best I could of hitting backhands through the court. Quite difficult because he hits quite a loopy backhand himself. So you're trying to hit through it. Normally, you're getting quite powerful backhands coming cross court, but he really gets a lot of dip and loop and height over the net, so it's actually hard to hit through the ball and get the depth. And I was struggling with that in the first set and went down the first set 6-3. As I do, I sit, I regroup, I think about what I've done well and haven't done well. And I hadn't done badly. I'd lost a bad service game. But, you know, when someone is really going for their shots at the other end, he's going to have a game where he hits one or two of them and you miss one or two, and it's not hard to for a game to go. But made sure I knuckled down in the second set and broke it quite early, and that really helped. Just as he can get the crowd fired up and with him, you break him, he can lose heart. But he's just one of those really streaky players. He's 100% on or 100% off, and that can be within game sets, matches, and the whole lot. So when I broke in the second set, I was then able just to consolidate and serve it out, and I was actually happy with my performance and resolve. So we're now sitting at a set all, and we'll see how I fared in the third set after this break. Playing Gail Mulfies in the third round of the Cincinnati 1000 Masters event, and we're at a set all, lost the first 3-6, won the second 6-3, and now it's going to be a dogfight to the end. Well, dogfight at my end, showmanship and everything else at the other end. I mean, not suggesting that he doesn't draw 100%. He certainly does, but he's art for art's sake. He's not going to compromise his style of play for anyone or at any stage of the game. And some might say that's probably what's cost him winning tournaments and Grand Slams, because he's certainly got the talent, immensely talented player. But he's out there to put on an exhibition, and if the ball's there to be hit, you hit it. Doesn't matter what the stage of the game or the match is, you hit it, and he goes for these shots. And if I wasn't playing him, I'd be lining up, happy to watch him. But anyway, we got through and split the first four games, and at 2-2 became the decisive break. And again, trying to get the ball back into play. If he misses a first serve, you get a chance. Mainly because sometimes he goes for that second serve and misses it. He hit five double faults in the match, and one of them in this game. And basically, I was able to put in a pretty good return, and then he made an unforced error. And all of a sudden, when you've got your break point, you know, it was very, very significant in this one here, because he actually had 8 break points against me, of which he only converted the one in the first set, and missed the others, because he keeps going for it. There's none of this, just get the ball back into play, rally and see how it goes. He goes for it. In fact, he's more likely to go for it when he's got that break point, whereas I was able to convert 2 of the break points from my side. Most pleasingly for me, when I was able to serve out the set and win 6-4, was that my winning percentage on my second serves were 67%, and that was really pleasing. It's what I'm trying to work on, and I was very happy with the win. To be fair, I think my timing was good, because having beaten Alcaraz, it was always going to be a touch of letdown in the next match. So pleased to have got through to the fourth round, where I play Jack Draper. And I don't know how Jack's going to go, because Jack was involved in a bit of a controversy today, which we'll talk about just after this break. 15 seed here. I'm through to the fourth round. I'm playing Jack Draper, Britain's new hope and a good young player. He's going to be a star. I think he was one of the ones I selected at the start of the year to keep an eye out for, and that's been justified. He's a brilliant player. He's a great competitor. But he had a really unfortunate episode in the third round, when he beat Felix Auger Aliassime, and he had a match point at 5-4 in the third set, when he's come to the net, sought to volley, a ball has ballooned up, hit the net, and rolled over for a winner. Now, of course, Jack Draper's there, standing there, and the umpire's calling game, set, and match. Felix Auger Aliassime has walked back to the forehand court, sort of saying, that ball bounced after hitting your racket, bounced into the ground, and then up and over. It's not possible to have hit the ball and it to have bounced in that manner without being a bump ball. Jack Draper's standing there saying, well, I didn't see it. I was watching you. I didn't see where it went. Felix is saying, well, you should know how it felt, but it's not your call. It's, you know, up to the umpire. It goes to the umpire. What are you saying? The umpire's saying, I called it as I saw it. And then we had this standoff. Now, to be fair to Jack, he was saying, look, if it looks like I've done a bump ball, I'll replay the point. Felix is saying to the umpire, it's your call, not his call, your call. What do you say? If you've got any element of doubt, you've got to say so. Umpire repeats, well, I'm calling it as I saw it, bang. And the crowd then gets involved and starts jeering and clapping and booing. I mean, Felix Auger-Aliassime is not someone who gets upset about anything. I mean, he's the most mild-mannered fellow. And he, you know, he clearly thought Jack Draper had done the wrong thing, but he wasn't going to get, you know, accusatory. It was just, you know, Jack, you know, you must have felt it. No, I didn't feel it. All right, well, it's the umpire's call. Umpire, if you, you know, do it. But, you know, if you don't call this, then you're going to look silly when everyone sees it on tape the next day. And, of course, the referee's called. The referee's got his hands tied. The umpire says, I called it as I saw it. Even though Jack Draper's saying play two, there was no concession from Felix to replay the point, which I would have thought was the way to go. I think Felix should have said, well, let's play two. Jack would have played two. Umpire would have accepted it if they did. I think it would have been a good outcome, but it didn't. And finished up that was called in favour of Jack Draper. So I've come out today playing Jack Draper, and I think it's fair to say that the events of the previous round very much upset him. He was not the player that I expected him to be and has been during the course of this year. I'm playing Jack Draper in the fourth round of the Cincinnati Open, and basically went out and beat him in straight sets, which is, you know, for a player of Jack's ability, it's not really what was expected. And I'm quite sure that the events of him beating Felix Auger-Aliassime and the surrounding controversy and the press coverage of it subsequent to that very much affected him. So I was a benefit of timing. Because, look, he's a decent bloke, Jack Draper. He went to California Berkeley, and in the NCAA, I followed the Golden Bears. We had a good chat about the match against Stanford, the big one, the match for the Axe. And, yeah, look, I'm sure he took it very hard, and he just couldn't produce his best game today. So I haven't overanalyzed this one here. I'll take the win. I played well. I did what I had to do, but I think it had much more to do with Jack Draper than it did with myself. So with the win against Jack Draper, I'm now into the semi-final, and the draw's worked out pretty well. Up the top half of the draw, you've got Jannik Sinner and Sasha Zverev. And in the bottom half, with Carlos Alcaraz gone, it's myself against Francis Tiafoe. Now, I've recently had a win against Francis Tiafoe, but you may recall this came after he'd had a very good tournament, gone deep at Washington. So I think that he was not at his best. I think he was a bit jaded at that point in time. So it'll be a fresh match, 50-50 match, but a really good opportunity in a ATP Masters 1000 event. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So until I do battle with Francis, it is thank you, people. Thank you, Hawkeye.